Hello again, friends. Welcome to the Bible Project Daily Podcast. And the project is to work through the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you're here for the very first time, we're in season 3, which is the Gospel of Matthew. Now, it's worth just mentioning that season 1 was an introduction and overview to each and every book of the Bible. Then season 2 was the book of Genesis. And the plan is for however many years it takes to go Old Testament, New Testament, through the entire Bible, thus enabling you to make the study of the Bible part of the rhythm of your daily lives. So why not consider subscribing so you never miss another episode again? Perhaps even go back and play catch up for a while so you get to cover the whole Bible in its entirety. Do hang on at the end because I'll update you on a few other things after we jump right back in to the main text. Hello there, pod friends. Welcome back to the Bible Project Daily Podcast. Now, we've been looking together in this new chapter of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at Jesus teach on 3 of the main religious activities that as Christians people are called to do, that of giving, praying, and fasting. So we're just closing off the second day spent looking at giving, and we'll then carry on looking at praying and fasting over the next couple of episodes. So at this point, looking at Matthew 6, 1-4, well, at the point we are, you remember yesterday, we found out that the essence of false righteousness is a sort of what we would call today virtue signaling. In other words, signaling our good works through giving. False righteousness, fake holiness, is about doing things, and it can even mean doing good things, but doing them with wrong motives. And the main wrong motive, it would seem, is in order to be seen by others and really project a false sense of holiness. All right, if that's the case, and that's the wrong way to do it, what is the right way to do these things? Especially when it comes to this very tricky subject of giving, charitable giving even. So let's look at verse 3 and verse 4, because now, having identified the problem, Jesus is going to give us the solution of how to do it appropriately. And he says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly." So it seems real righteous giving appears to be done privately, almost in secret, it suggests. Now, it's not stated in plain words, but the obvious point I think we can make at this point is that if there's a wrong way to give, there must be a right way to give. And the right way to give, in a sense, must be the opposite of the wrong way to give. And we've already been told that the wrong way to give is to give in a way that is seen by others and is meant just to draw attention to us as the giver. Therefore, the right way to give is not to be seen by others, and embedded within that idea is that if it's not seen by others, it will then be seen all the more by God. You see, real virtue, real holiness, is doing the right thing for the right reason. And the right reason is because you want to do it for and before the Lord, as an offering, as a worship act to Him. Now, I once read something I think really illustrates this type of altruistic giving and helping other people. I read something about 2 famous novelists from the last century called Henry James and Edith Wharton. Now, they were both published for a time by the same very well-known publisher. But both these writers were not equally successful. In his lifetime, Henry James had great critical acclaim, but really rather limited commercial success. But Edith Wharton had phenomenal success in both fields. Now, they were good friends, but Wharton was much more commercially successful than Henry James was. And because James was sensitive about his earnings, and his modest standard of living, Wharton made an arrangement with the publisher to divert James $8,000 on each of his new novels, in the understanding that the money would be taken out of her sales royalties and passed to him in a way that he would never known that it was done. Now, I feel that is kind of an example of what Jesus is discussing about here. He is recommending we do it in secret almost, but at the same time reminding us that by doing it that way, we should never forget that it will always be seen by God. But wait a minute. Earlier in this passage, didn't Jesus just say, "Let your works be known before others, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven"? So I really think we need to address that verse again in the light of this chapter 6 verse. You see, chapter 6 now seems to be suggesting that our giving should be anonymous. Well, what this tells me by holding these two verses in tension, that it's not necessary that it is always anonymous. For we know from the earlier verse and other texts in the New Testament that sometimes people gave openly. Interestingly, in the book of Acts, everyone in the early church knew that Barnabas had given income from the sale of a piece of land he had. And we also see in Acts 4 that church members were seen to lay the money at the apostles' feet. It was not done in secret on that occasion. The difference, of course, was the motivation and the manner in which it's done. But then in that same text, we hear about a couple called Ananias and Sapphira who tried to use their gift to make people think that they were more spiritual than they really were. And in the book of Acts, the narrative tells us that there are occasions where people can give openly and that's not a problem. But here, because Ananias and Sapphira did what they did in front of everybody for the specific reason of signalling a false spirituality, and they lied about the totality of what they gave, they in fact died, and everybody saw them die on the spot because they were lying to the Lord. So this passage here in chapter 6, Jesus isn't arguing that all our giving always has to be anonymous. As a matter of fact, giving today, sometimes it's virtually impossible to be totally anonymous in it. It's just better when it can be, let's be clear about that. But sometimes when we give, somebody else needs to know. Doesn't mean everybody needs to know, but sometimes someone else needs to know, because sometimes it's important that there is someone to witness that the giving has been done in the correct way. Like the situation, sometimes you might need a receipt or a paper trail to allow the receiving organisation a tax benefit. That's the system in the UK. I understand in the United States, it's the other way around. You give and then you make a personal tax deduction, which is allowed. So not all the time can giving be completely anonymous. But the point is that you do it before the Lord, not just so that people can see it. I once read a newspaper article about a man, and the newspaper nicknamed this man Mr. Anonymous, because every 4 weeks he drove up to a nursing home in an unmarked van and delivered two large boxes of flowers. And as he put it was a gift for the enjoyment of the residents. And he always refused to give his name. He sought no recognition until, of course, the Sunday newspaper sought him out. But all he had wanted, and he had done it for many, many years, was for the elderly people in the nursing home so that they could enjoy the flowers. Did the people need to know who he was? No, of course they didn't. They just needed to enjoy the flowers. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. Verse 4 said that when our charitable giving is done in secret, our Father in heaven still sees it and will reward us openly. What does the word openly mean? Well, it doesn't mean that everyone else will see God's blessing, as some suggest. Rather, the word means that we will be able to recognise the blessings of God in our heart and in our lives subsequent to any act of giving. Maybe this would be a good place to just pause for a moment and talk about the whole concept of giving in principle. I read somewhere that from a biblical point of view, there are different kinds of givers and that there are four different kinds of giving. Firstly, there are some people who give reluctantly or with regret. It's a gift in a sense that is forced out of their hand and is not given from the heart. In other words, they're people who give out of duty or only give when they're solicited or pressured or embarrassed or made to feel bad for not giving. Now, others give, and they give willingly, but they don't give proportionately. And the third type of person, well, they give cheerfully, willingly, and proportionally, but they still only do it to be seen by other people. And then there are some of us, and this is the type of giving Jesus is describing here, who give cheerfully, proportionately, anonymously, and they only do it as an act of worship before the Lord. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. I read a story many years ago about a car dealer in the UK who helped a foreign student. He gave him a really good deal on a car that this young lad needed, desperately needed in that situation. But he was so impressed by the young man and the student's work ethic, he secretly gave him the car at cost as he wanted to help the lad out. The student knew he got a fantastic deal and never really understood why, but he recognised that this chap had done best by him and the honesty and the integrity with which he did run his business. Now, that student graduated and went back to his country of origin, and he built a very successful company, and he set up a company where he headed up a purchasing agency for the construction industry. 15 years later, that man won a contract back in the UK, and he needed to buy some equipment for the company he had been contracted for, and he remembered that car dealer and what he had done for him that time. Now, that car dealer's business had also thrived and had grown, and he had just set out in also selling lorries and trucks as well as private vehicles. And the article concluded by saying that when he contacted that original car dealer, and through him, he ordered 750 large trucks and lorries and 350 smaller vehicles in one order. You see, what that dealer, all those years ago, did in secret, just thinking he was helping out one student, never looking for anything in return, got abundantly rewarded in later life. Now, it's not always, let me be clear, about a monetary reward, but certainly it's part of the concept of what Jesus is teaching in this passage. As a pastor who's attended ministers' meetings, I have heard stories on several occasions of people who, on hearing that someone in the congregation that they care for is struggling, another person has come and pressed money into the minister's hand and said, "I want you to give this to this family." And they name the person. But they say, "I don't want you to tell them where it came from. Just say it was from the Lord." I myself have seen that happen several times. Once when I was a deacon in the church, I saw that sort of money being handed over. I went along and accompanied the pastor to sort of witness that the money was handed over. And the recipient put huge pressure on us to know who had gifted them the money. So much so that the pastor went back to the giver and asked for permission to identify the giver. And the giver saying that the receiver really wanted to know who gave it to them so they could thank them. But you know what? That person who gave, they just laughed. "What are you trying to do?" they said. "Take away my pleasure and lose my reward in heaven. I would not only not get the pleasure here on earth on knowing that I had blessed someone, but also I would miss the blessing of knowing that God is looking down and saying, 'Well done, you made sure that you credited me. You did it for me and not for yourself.' Let your giving be as before the Lord," it says here, "as anonymously as you can make it possible. And then your Father is going to reward you openly in the fullness of time." So openly, which, what does that mean? Well, it means in a way that you can witness or understand in your life. Okay, let me wrap this up and spell this out as clearly as possible. I believe this passage is teaching us that if we give money and we do it in a way and we only do it in order to be seen by others, then the Lord says, "Yep, you will gain the full reward. And at best, that reward will be the plaudits of other men and women. But if you give as before the Lord, as secretly as possible, he will reward you openly in a way that you may know and feel the blessings in your heart, and maybe even in some way a practical blessing in your life. You see, real righteousness Real holiness comes by doing the right thing for the right reason. Now, granted, some people do the religious things for the right reasons and others do them for the wrong reasons, but the issue is never, ever the actual religious activity itself. In this case, he's talking about giving, but Jesus will also deal with other activities, religious type activities, like things like praying and fasting, and we're going to come to that later. But in this case, in the opening of this chapter, he's talking about giving and that it's about doing it, as with everything else, with the right motive. Okay, let me try and sum this up. Have you ever noticed sometimes at the end of the news programme, just before they go to the weather, they sometimes give you the main headlines, just in case you've missed anything, and then they try and end up with an uplifting story. So what I'm going to do is do what they do at the end of the news. I thought to myself the other day, you know, I noticed they do this. Maybe I ought to do this sometimes. So what I'm going to do is summarise what I've said in case you've missed it. So I'm going to sum up, spell it out, and then finish with a story. So firstly, we should all be giving. That's the overarching principle first. I hope I've made that clear. We should be giving, right? Nothing else can flow out of this teaching unless you're giving in the first place. So we should be giving for those in need. Psalm 41 reminds us, blessed is he who considers the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. But you should not give the wrong reasons, and the main wrong reasons that people give is because they do it before other people to gain the approval and the applause, and sometimes and even suggest a false religiosity by doing it. Now, over the next few days, we're going to look at the three main aspects of Christian activities, if you like. Now, let me be clear. Don't give so that you can have your sins forgiven. Don't even think that way. That's wrong. Giving money does not help in you in one iota to get to heaven. The gift of heaven is exactly that. It's a gift that God gives you when you simply trust Jesus Christ's gift of eternal life. So don't do it for that wrong reason either. We give out of thankfulness to the Lord for what he has done in our lives and to express that love of God that we have experienced for other people. So let me ask you a question. How do you approach your giving? If you look into your heart honestly, how do you feel about your giving? Do you ever give something to someone or for someone and you think, they didn't even thank me? Did you ever do something for somebody sometimes and they didn't express any kind of appreciation? The question is, how did you respond when that was the response you got for your giving? What I'm trying to say is that if that's the way you felt and that's the way you naturally felt, I really believe humbly that you need to look at how you give, why you give, and maybe even consider giving in another way. If there's an area of your life where you're giving, but at the same time you give with a feeling that that recipient should have some sort of obligation, then stop giving that way and try and find a way of giving of your resources, financial resources, in another area. There's always a danger in which we want people to appreciate what we do. I've met a number of people who got offended because they did something for someone else and they felt they didn't get any appreciation for us. Now, I'm not trying to judge anybody here. I'm just pointing it out because as I prepared this, I felt this is something that I really struggle with. This is something that has always bothered me. And because I recognized in the preparation of this that I have felt this way on several occasions and that I've also seen it in other people, that I had to ask myself, why am I giving in the first place? Maybe was I just giving in this area as a way of trying to gain the approval of people? And if that's your case, then I hope this teaching helps you and redirect your giving into another area where you more naturally feel that the blessing of God in what you're doing and giving. The one clear thing this passage teaches is to try not to make the mistake of doing the right things for the wrong reasons. God is only ever interested in your heart. He's only ever interested that you do it unto him and not for other people to see. And finally, Jesus wants us to understand that we should give for the right reasons, and the right reasons is because it is approved by God. We should do things just because we love the Lord. And as a side bonus, if you like, at the same time, Jesus is drawing attention to the understanding that if we live that way and that we give that way, we will indeed be rewarded by God. The way to interpret this whole chapter, and it comes up again and again, the whole Sermon on the Mount, in fact, is that we need to do everything we do for the right reason. And the right reason is that everything we do should be an act of worship before the Lord. And then the bonus of that, we will be rewarded by the Lord with God's approval, the approval of God, not the approval of other men and women. Now, it doesn't tell us that the reward that we receive will always or necessarily even ever be a sort of material blessing reward, although sometimes it might be. The reward will come to us in this life, in the blessing of knowing that we are pleasing God, and in the life to come. God pays back for your service to him. And in a sense, as we forfeit our earthly treasures, as we pass our wages on to others in this life, he actually takes those and stores up treasures in heaven for us. Let me finish with a story. There was a man who lived in Strasbourg many, many years ago. And one of his best friends was a very wealthy, famous philanthropist, someone who loved to give money to support the poor and the needy, and just to help out where he can. And one day, our guy, he set out to visit his famous philanthropist friend. But as he journeyed across the land to visit his friend, he was caught in a snowstorm and he lost his way. And had he not been rescued, he recognised that he probably would have died. But he was rescued by a Christian who shared the love of God with him and said, "Let me carry you through to this place you need to get to." That Christian chap risked his own friend to save this man and bring him safely to his friend's house. Upon handing him over into the safe care of his wealthy friend, the man said to this man, "Let me give you some money for what you've done." And the Christian, well, he refused to take the money. And finally, after a lengthy debate, he said, "Well, at least tell me your name." And the stranger replied, "Well, first, you tell me the name of the Good Samaritan in that famous Bible story." "Well, I don't believe that's recorded," said our wealthy friend. "Then," he said, "you will permit me to also withhold my name, for I only want the kindness that was inspired by that story to be remembered in what I have done here today. So if you will permit me, I would rather not take your money, and please also allow me to withhold my name from you." That's really what I'm suggesting is going on here. We are really being told to do nothing more and be nothing more than be a good Samaritan, in the knowledge that one day, yes, we will have a great reward, in a different way perhaps than we imagined, but also in a better way than we can ever have imagined. Okay, friends, there we go. That's it for today. I'm so glad you decided to join me. We'll continue looking at a new section as we carry on as Jeeva's practical advice in how we might carry out these practical, faithful activities like giving, praying, and fasting. And we'll do that together if you come back again tomorrow. I'd love to see you here. If you are here for the first time, please remember there's lots of ways you can connect to my ministry. The podcast is hosted on thebibleproject.buzzsprout.com. That's the podcast home. But also within the episode notes there, you will find lots of links to ways which you can connect to other aspects of my ministry and my teaching. Places like the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, and even my own personal LinkedIn and Patreon pages, where you'll see some more structured formal discipleship type training courses there. But the main thing is, and will be for the next 5 years or more, will be the Bible Project Daily Podcast. So if you are enjoying this journey, if you're enjoying making the study of the Word of God, the study of the Bible, part of the rhythm of your daily life, then I humbly ask that you would consider liking it or sharing it or putting a link in on your social media accounts. I'm told that's the most effective way to bring more and more people into contact with the life-changing Word of God as contained within our Bible. But hey, that's it for today. I do hope I'll see you again back here. Well, it'll be tomorrow for me, whatever day you get that notification from your podcast provider. And I'll see you right back here again on the Bible Project Daily Podcast. Bye-bye for now.